of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Can you imagine the grandeur of the temple as Jesus and the disciples walk through it? It was a massive construction building project built by Herod the Great that took about 80 years to make. It included a new foundation and walls. Herod had significantly enlarged the temple with these new giant pieces of marble. Some were 67 feet long, 12 feet high, 12 feet wide. And it wasn't just the might of these walls. It was the beauty. They had tapestries. They had unbelievable colors everywhere. There was silver and gold on the doors. And throughout everything, there was a sense that this was built to last. Can you imagine what it was also like for the disciples walking around on this amazing piece of glorious property, seeing not just the beauty and the strength of the place, but the way it housed all of life? It was teeming with people, commerce. It was a place of business and trade, a very busy marketplace, a place of government where the courts were held. And of course, a place of sacred worship, one of the only places where you could do certain types of ritual action. It was everything. And again, it seemed as though it was built to last. So can you imagine Jesus saying to his disciples, as he does in the gospel, "This is going to be torn down, and there's going to be war and plagues and famine"? Well, I think we can imagine it. We are living in a post-9/11 world. We're living in a time where there is still a global pandemic that we're living through. We can imagine food shortages caused by climate change. We can imagine a destruction that, more than any other time in history, can be brought about with just one push of a button. We can imagine it. But maybe what we can't imagine is why Jesus would ever turn to his disciples and to us and say, "Fear not," in the face of all of that. I can't imagine what he was thinking when he did that, as a matter of fact. Fear not? That seems to go against all good sense. It seems to go against even how the human brain is wired. I mean, fear for us has been what we think has kept us safe long throughout human history. It's a very solid, reliable fight, flight, or freeze mechanism built into the very primal parts of our brains that has, we think, kept us safe for such a long time. Think of our ancestors. This mechanism, this fight, flight, or freeze caused by fear, was the way that we learned things, learned how to keep ourselves safe. I always like to imagine that if we were living in caves and a bear was coming at us, we wouldn't stop to say to that bear, "Hey, how are you doing? Are you upset? Do you want some food?" No. Our fear would make the body run or freeze or fight. It would have some sort of mechanism to keep us safe. But that doesn't work when you're constantly in fear. When every time you turn on the television, there's somebody there to tell you something to be afraid of. When every single time you turn around, there's some new, seemingly world-ending problem to grapple with. The entire Bible, the number one commandment is fear not, but I have a feeling that's hard for us to buy. Hard for us to imagine. And yet, Jesus is asking us today to do just that, And so I think we must take him at his word and realize that he's not asking us to simply react anymore. He's asking us to evolve, to spiritually evolve, to become a new sort of person grounded not just in fear and anxiety and the stress that it causes that can corrode the body, break down the soul, but instead, imagine a world where we are not dominated by anxieties and fears. We might have to spend some time imagining it, because for so many of us, anxiety and fear dictates many of our choices, if not all of them. We build walls of protection, not unlike what we would have thought in Herod's temple time, right, where these walls couldn't come down, and yet we know they did. Because no wall that we can build can withstand all that can be thrown at it, which is why we need a more excellent way, which is why Jesus gives us this offering today, this evolution of spirit and mind. But we might say, well, I can't imagine how that works, Jesus, how we might actually live into that evolution when we want these walls of protection, that this anxiety we feel feels at least like we're doing something to protect ourselves. And this is where he gives us this very interesting bit of advice. Jesus says, "Fear not, be not afraid, for when it is time to lobby your defense, instead of building walls, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit to help you, to be with you, to give you what you need to turn that fear into peace, into love, to come from out of that primal part of our brain, the fight, flight, or freeze, into the part of ourselves, the frontal cortex that can be mindful, and into the heart that can be peaceful, and into the body that can be changed when it's not coursing through with just fear and anxiety all the time." What Jesus is saying is that we do not need to be afraid because we are not alone. We are not defenseless. We have nothing less than the Spirit itself. And when we let the Spirit enter in, we can let go of that scarcity mindset, that anxiety and the fear, which we think gives us some means of protection, but in fact doesn't do anything but keep us caged in. And we can evolve. We can change. We can let those towers of empire, those false temples of power and fear be demolished and let the Spirit enter in. My friends, today, let your heart be so open to the Spirit that fears begin to dissolve. Maybe not every one of them right away, but little by little, so that no longer are we building walls out of fear, but we're opening wide the doors for the Spirit. Can you imagine it? Can you imagine this life without fear? Well, Jesus is saying, if you can imagine the joy and the hope of it, if you can imagine the Spirit entering in, you will gain your evolution. You will gain your soul. Amen.